Thank you, Mr. Holloway. When Bryant, bring us down. How's that? When Bryant talked about leaving me 10 minutes, I broke out in a cold sweat. And then he started down my list of scriptures, and I thought, boy, it would be good if he only left me 10 minutes. I won't need much. He touched on a lot of things that I had in my notes, and he touched on some things that I thought about putting in my notes and didn't. I think there's a conspiracy at work here somewhere. Are we bringing greetings to both congregations? No, we're just all by ourselves today. Okay. I got an email from Mark Buchholz yesterday, I believe, and talked about Thanksgiving a little bit, and he wasn't feeling real well, had a little cold and stuffy nose, so he was concerned about and being careful that he didn't eat too much. But he did want me to convey messages to everybody that I saw, and this is a good opportunity to do that. He said he really, really, really misses us all with 3 exclamation points. So if you get an opportunity to send him an email or give him a holler, he'd really appreciate that. Mr. Lambert has spoken 2 or 3 times lately on different methods of thinking, literally and figuratively and big and small. Today I'm going to try to apply some of that in the types of thinking, and I'm going to get us to help get you to think big about the New Testament church. My very first scripture Bryant used, so I'm going to use it again because I have a slightly different take on it, and that's John chapter 13, verse 34. John chapter 13 and verse 34. We need to keep in mind that this was within hours of the time that Jesus Christ was going to suffer and die. It was within days of the time that the Holy Spirit was going to be given and the New Testament church was going to start. John chapter 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. This is a part of a section of 3s in the scripture. In verse 15, it's up down there, John 15 and verse 12 through 14. John 15, verses 12 through 14. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. In verse 17, he repeats some of it again. These things I command you, that you love one another. And in studying through this, it struck me. There's 3 times in a couple of chapters, Jesus Christ said, love one another. It ties in a little bit with Peter, who before Christ's crucifixion, Christ said, you will deny me 3 times before daylight. And after the resurrection, Christ went back to him and said, Peter, do you love me? So we have 3 times love, 3 times denial, 3 times love again. I thought, well, that's a set of 3 threes. That was interesting. I don't know if it means anything or not, but it just struck me. But it's clear from these scriptures that we have to love. That's a given. Who do we love? And who not love? Scripture says, love not the world, Does that mean the people of the world we're not to love? Or just the wrong things in the world that we're not supposed to love? In John 3:16, that all the Protestants quote, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Even while we were sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. We're supposed to emulate Jesus Christ because he did everything in his life perfectly. There were no flaws anywhere. In 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, if you turn there, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. Be you followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. So Paul emulated Jesus Christ. He followed Jesus Christ. And he encouraged us to follow Jesus Christ as he followed Christ. With that in mind, and this is a rhetorical question that I don't expect an answer, but I'd like to have you think about it sometime during the week. I come up with these, I don't know why, they just kind of pop in my head when I'm preparing stuff, but Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. The question is, what do I do for sinners? Christ died for me. What am I doing for the sinners in the world? Let's start in Romans chapter 1. We're going to look at some of Paul's early writings. We're going to look at some definitions, some Greek words, which I don't normally do, but I thought would fit well with this. Romans chapter 1. We're going to read basically verses 1, 6, and 7. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God. Verse 6, among whom we also are the called of Jesus Christ. Paul was called, we're called. Verse 7, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. So not only are we called, we're called to be saints. Paul was called to be an apostle. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Called in all three of those verses is from the Greek kletos, means you're invited, appointed, chosen. Saints. Saints is from the Greek hagios, H-A-G-I-O-S, means sacred, physically pure, morally blameless, and consecrated. Let's go on to, over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Take a look at another of Paul's greetings. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we'll read primarily verse 1 and 2 and 9. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. The first word we're going to look at and define in that scripture is church. The church, in verse 1, or verse 2, is ecclesia. It's a called out, calling out, or an assembly. Mr. Lambert spoke last week and talked about a sign. In Exodus chapter 13, in verse 13. We'll take a quick look at that, although it's pretty fresh in our mind from a week or so ago. Exodus 31 and verse 13. Speak you also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbaths you shall keep, plural. For it is a sign, the sign of us keeping the Sabbath is a sign between you and me throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, does sanctify you. So we are sanctified by God. Sanctified means set apart, made holy. That also is in the greetings from Paul. Call upon the name of Jesus Christ. That's from the Greek word number 1941. I can't say it, so I won't do it. It means to entitle. By implication, to invoke for aid, worship, testimony, decision, appeal. That sounds like when you call on the name of Jesus Christ, you're praying. Very, very similar. Very similar. Mr. Armstrong once said, some many years ago, and I don't know that I heard it when he said it, but I've read it several times since. And I'm going to partially quote, partially paraphrase. He said, the body, the worldwide church of God, is not the body of Jesus Christ. Which, you know, I always thought it was for years and years and years. But he went on to say that the worldwide church of God is a physical corporation. The body of Jesus Christ is a spiritual organism. Two different planes, physical and spiritual. The physical corporation that he was speaking of was a man-made structure based on biblical principles, but still was a man-made organization governed by man's laws. The body of Jesus Christ is a spiritual organism. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 10. I think I'm in the wrong. I wrote something else above that. Sorry about that. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16 and 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16 and 17. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Jesus Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. We have unity, each and every one of us, through the body, through the bread and the wine, into the body of Jesus Christ. We are a part of the body because we understand what the Passover means, what the Passover teaches, and we partake that, and thereby each of us gains a unity with Jesus Christ. John chapter 10 and verse 15 was kind of an afterthought I stuck in there, but John chapter 10 and verse 15, Jesus Christ speaking. As the Father knows me, even so I know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, that I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. In future tense, there shall be one fold and one shepherd. We don't see that today, but it's coming. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 and 15. Romans chapter 8, we're starting verse 14. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So, if we are led by the Spirit, we are children of God. Bottom line. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll start in verse 17. 7. 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of understanding, and to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. All these work that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing unto every man severally as it will. Verse 12, for the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that body, being many, are one body, as also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Drop down to verse 18. But now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it pleases him. So wherever the members in the body of Jesus Christ are, that's where God has put them. We don't need to worry about what they're doing, why they're not doing, why they're not with us. God has placed them there as it pleases him. And if it's pleasing to God, I don't know if I want to argue with it. Verse 25. That there should be no schism in the body, but the members should have the same care one for another. The division is not where we're at. It's where we're at, but it's not what God really wants. Verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particularly. We have a song in the hymnal, one of the verses in it says, all one body we. That's become a favorite song of mine, all one body we. Galatians chapter 4. We're going to break in the middle of verse number 5, read through the end of 7. That we might receive the adoption of sons. And because we are sons, God has set forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, you are no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Ephesians chapter 4. I think Bryant touched on this one. We're very close to it. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 3 through 6. Verse 3 of Ephesians 4. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit. Even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. I'd like to take a look at that particular verse and look at it backwards, from the end back to the beginning. One God is the result. One God who says, I change not. One God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. One God who would have all men everywhere to repent. One baptism. Only one legitimate, which is following personal repentance. One faith, that faith is in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only name under heaven whereby men may be saved. One calling, one hope, one Spirit, one body with many parts. Romans 12, verses 4 through 10. Romans 12, verses 4 through 10. Again, pounding the same theme. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorts on exhortation, he that gives, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, and he that shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, and cleave to what is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. The above being true, which, you know, not because I say it, because it's in the book, the above is true. How should we, or therefore, as Paul would say, how should we behave in the body? Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. We'll pick it up in verse 25. Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How do you read it? And the lawyer answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And he answered him, you have answered right, Christ said. This do, and you shall live. But he, the lawyer, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, "Certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side." He crossed the road. "And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked at him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan," which was a bad name to the priests and the Levites. A Samaritan, pretty bad individual according to them. "As he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence, gave them to the host, and said unto him, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever you spend more, when I come again, I will give it you, repay you.' Which of these three do you think was neighbor to him that fell among thieves?" The lawyer was cornered, which is unusual for a lawyer, but he said, "He that showed mercy on him." Then said Jesus unto him, "Go and do likewise." So the first thing that we should do in our behavior in the body is to show mercy. The scripture says God desires mercy and not sacrifice. But if you look at this act of mercy by the Samaritan, the mercy led to a sacrifice on his part, sacrificed his time, sacrificed his mode of transportation, sacrificed money, was going to be willing to sacrifice more money. Sacrifice of this type is the essence of love. That's what Jesus Christ taught. Galatians chapter 6. Turn with me to Galatians 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. Let's right back up to verse 9. "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Verse 10. "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, but especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Especially to the household of faith. The Greek word for faith in this verse is pistis. It's a moral conviction of religious truth. By extension, it's the system of religious truth itself. Mr. Lambert spoke the last time he spoke on, does God have truth? Moral conviction of religious truth. By extension, the system of religious truth itself. The second aspect of our conduct that I'd like to take a look at this afternoon is forgiveness. Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. Matthew chapter 5. Starting in verse 23. "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you." So we go to the altar of God boldly every time when we pray. If we go there and we remember thinking back, somebody's got an issue with me, God says, leave your gift before the altar and go your way. And first, before you offer the gift, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. We need to be reconciled to our brother before we pray with any degree of effectiveness. Matthew chapter 7. I didn't write down the verse, but it talks about when we see our brother in a fault, and we decide he's in a fault, and we want to go and correct him. It says, make sure you see clearly, paraphrasing a bunch, but make sure you see clearly before you go to correct or help your brother. Take the plank, the beam, the big sticks out of your own eye. Make sure you've got your ducks in a row before you try to teach your brother what his minor splinter problem is. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. I think Bryant was there too. Matthew chapter 18, we'll start in verse 15. Moreover, if your brother shall trespass against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he hears you, you've gained your brother. Verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often do I need to do this? How often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Jesus said, I say unto you, not unto you until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Which is a lot of times. It basically means an infinite number of forgiveness. Verse 32. And it goes down through the parable where the servant came to Jesus Christ, or to his master, and owed him a lot of money. Bryant touched on that. And he was forgiven. But he didn't turn around and reciprocate. Verse 32. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you desired of me. Should not you also have had compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had pity on you? Verse 34, and his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due to him. Verse 35, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your heart forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. So we've covered mercy and forgiveness. Let's take a look now at judgment. Turn with me back to Matthew chapter 12, verse 50. Matthew chapter 12, starting in verse 50. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother, my sister, and my mother. It's basically stated that the same way in Mark chapter 3 and verse 5. We are brothers. Romans chapter 14 and verse 4. Romans chapter 14 and verse 4. Who are you that judges another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Yea, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. Drop down to verse 10, Romans 14. We'll read 10 through 13. For why do you judge your brother? Or why do you set it not your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord God, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not, therefore, judge one another anymore. Let us not, therefore, judge one another anymore. The finger pointing, the name calling has got to stop. It needs to stop with me, and it needs to stop with you. We don't need it. It is not biblical. In fact, it's very anti-biblical. Let us not, therefore, judge one another any more, but judge this, rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. It's pretty easy to see that on a physical basis. If you have a blind person and you throw a cinder block in front of him as they're going down the street, he's going to fall. But on a spiritual level, it's a little more difficult to see. And it can be something that's so insignificant to you as a backhanded comment that you think is a joke or something. And it causes your brother to stumble because he's not thinking on the same level as you are. Not funny to him. So we need to be careful of what we say, how we say it to our brother. Colossians. Chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Forbear one another. Another Bryant's thefts of my scriptures. And forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So I got to forgive you, Brian, you know. Just help yourself. Verse 14. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfection. One other or two scriptures in regards to judgment. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul writing the church of Corinth. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints. What are you doing, he's saying. Taking people to court in front of the unjust instead of settling it amongst yourself between the saints if you have an issue. Do you not know, verse 2, that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know you not that you shall judge angels? How much more the things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments of things pertaining to this life, if then you have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are the least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. It is so that there is not a wise man among you, no, not one, that shall be able to judge between the brethren. But a brother goes to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore, there's utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take the wrong? Just let it go. Don't hang on to it. Let it go. Don't keep stirring the pot. Don't keep pointing the fingers and calling names. Quit. Quit. There's nothing physical that's worth it. It really isn't. Why do you not rather allow yourselves to be defrauded? No, you do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators nor idolaters, and Paul goes through a whole list of other people. Thieves, drunkards will not be in the kingdom of God. We were that way, but we were washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, start reading in verse 31. Matthew 25 and verse 31. And when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit on the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on one hand, on his right hand, and the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then the righteous shall say unto him, Lord, when did we see you hungry, and feed you, or thirsty, and gave you drink? When saw we you as a stranger, and took you in, or naked, and clothed you? Or when saw we you sick, or in prison, and came unto you? And the king shall answer and say to them, Verily, I say to you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. You want to take that chance? You can do it a lot, but if you miss one, and you know that you missed one, pretty strong condemnation. Then shall he say unto them on his left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, for everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you didn't visit me. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when do we see you hungry and thirsty, and a stranger, and naked, and sick, and in prison, and didn't minister or serve you? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily, I say unto you, insomuch as you did it not to one of the least of these,
You did it unto me.
Let's take another look at verse 40. And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily, I say unto you, forasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Christ is judging. He's judging here from his throne. And he's talking to spiritual sons of God and potential daughters of God. Potentials. Spiritual sons. Sons of the same Father. Brothers. If you are this, and any other person has a same Father, you're brothers. And if you're a brother with a son of that Father, he's your brother too. In conclusion, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. First Thessalonians chapter 3. Somebody stole Thessalonians from me. The one you brought with me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. To the end, that he, God, may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. What is our responsibility from here going forward? We need to continue to search for God's truth. Don't think we have it all. I think we definitely have all we need, but I believe there's more out there. And I don't think we'll have it all before we come up in the resurrection. Jesus Christ chaps around the shoulder and says, Well done, good and faithful servant, but you had this wrong. That'll help keep us humble, and he won't create another Satan by having someone that's so full of vanity said, oh, I had everything right. Why didn't you follow me? It's not going to happen again. Prove all things. Love the brethren. Be merciful and live by faith. I meant to tell you at the beginning that I was going to reserve the title of the sermon for people that like sermonette, for people that like titles to the end. And I didn't tell you, so I'm telling you now. I reserved the title until the end. The title of this message is a question. Who is my brother?